Yes, he does. Look at somebody, shake their hand, tell them our God reigns. Oh, tell them with all your heart, our God reigns this morning. Hallelujah. Play some more of it, guys. Play some more of it. Back in the house of the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I found out one thing last night. When it comes to singing, us poor old white folks ain't got a prayer. We ain't got a chance. Did you enjoy that singing last night? Wasn't that wonderful? Amen. I don't know where Brother Fred's at this morning. Maybe back in the office or wherever he is. There he is right there. Brother Fred, just want to give you a rose this morning while you can smell it. That's the best I ever heard you preach in my life last night. You've done wonderful. Amen. All our brothers and sisters that came to be a part of this service, well, you just was cherry on top of the ice cream. I'm telling you the truth. It was wonderful. Isn't it good to love the Lord? Isn't it good to love one another? Isn't it good to be a Christian right here in Satan's living room? Amen. Right here in Satan's Eden, we are Christians. We are being called. We're part of God's great plan, Brother Fred. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you be seated. We've got several prayer requests we want to look at this morning. Brother Daniel will be getting ready to come take us to the Lord in prayer. We got plenty of good singing this morning. Brother Chisholm finally made it in here last night after a long delay on the highway. So we're just looking for what God would have for us. I know it's going to be something good, don't you? Amen. Amen. Let's look at these prayer requests this morning. Sister Sylvia Barnes says to please pray for Sonia King, a lady that she sits with. Serious surgery tomorrow at 3. We're really concerned about her coming through the surgery. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Sister Sue Miller, unspoken request for family member, has very important meeting tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Just asking for our prayers concerning that. So we just commit that to the Lord. Let me read you a testimony this morning. This is from the family of Zoe Goulds. And we want to publicly give praise for our little miracle. Sister Alex was told that she would never be able to have children. Yet this morning, Zoe is here to be dedicated to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of all of Alex's kidney issues and medications that she was on, Zoe was probably going to have complications. She has been given a clean bill of health. The doctor's words on Thursday was, she looks perfect. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to remember Sister Victoria Thomas in prayer. She is in the hospital, unable to walk. They're suspecting that she has suffered a stroke, so let's remember her as we pray. An email sent over to the library. Please have the church pray for a serious need for an elderly sister. She has asked me to send in a request for her mental health. She is very, very nervous, so we want to remember that need this morning. Brother Eugene Kennedy, a lot of effort went into him coming into the service last night, and this is his testimony. I want to thank God and all the saints that prayed for me. I am healed. Brother Eugene Kennedy, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to pray for a Kim Shelton, a friend of Sister Donna Pistoles, who is very sick. Let's remember that need as we pray. Brother Baker sends this in on behalf of his wife, Sister Christine. He wants to thank the Lord for for his healing touch for in her body. So we praise the Lord for that. I want to remember Brother Elmer Adkins in prayer this morning. Very sick, needs healing. And I got a call from my niece just a while ago, Christy Garrett, my sister Judy. They're looking to take her to the hospital this morning. Just very, very sick in body. So I'm asking that you would remember her in prayer as you pray today. We just commit all these needs unto the Lord. We are serving a risen Savior. We are serving a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad about that this morning? Give him a good hand clap of praise as you stand this morning. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll come, buddy, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. God bless you.
Amen. Well, it's not about church time. Well, a little bit before church time, I have a water pipe bust in front of my house. So I didn't make it last night, but I listened to the whole thing on that, and we were blessed. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne. God, knowing that with you there's nothing impossible. God, you say whatever we ask in faith, believing that you'll do it. God, we pray that you'll help our faith today. Oh, God, that we'll keep our faith and trust in you in all things. And oh, God, we'd like to say most of all how thankful we are to be in this service for these people that's with us, that's traveled the many miles. God, we just praise you for keeping your hand upon them. God, we know how dangerous the highways are. God, we know it's your mercy that keeps us from day to day. Thank you for service last night, for Brother Fred, for the ministry. Whoever's speaking today, I pray that you'll anoint them, Jesus, that you'll bless them. Heavenly Father, we pray for these requests. Lord, knowing that your hands are not too short, your ears are not too heavy to hear our cries. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll move to heal and to save, to deliver, that your presence will be manifested in this service today. God, we pray now that you'll take charge of this service. Bless every part of it, Lord. Be with those over the internet, whoever they might be. I pray that you'll move for them. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the praise. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. Certainly, if you're a visitor with us today in this service, we definitely want you to feel welcome. We're glad to have you. And I know you're going to enjoy this service today. All of our streamers, we want to pray that this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. A couple of announcements while we're getting ready to sing. There was a pair of sunglasses found in the found out in the parking lot last night. If you lost them and want to retrieve those, they'll be available for you over in the library this morning, so remember that. If you're planning on attending the reception of Addison Ward and Mark McNulty, please sign up in the library. Next Sunday will be the last day for sign-ups, so remember that. Brother Chisholm has requested a song, and I guarantee you know what it is. I believe he's coming back, like he said. You know what? That's an old song. We wore it out time and time again, but it's more true today than it was the last time we sung it. His coming is imminent. It's right around. It's on us. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord.
Thank you, buddy.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended, the angel of the Lord,
oh, yes,
declared that it would be. He said, "Dawn, you stand here grieving, for this wrong that you see leaving.
Thank you, Lord. Brother Fred Jr., come on, buddy. Get this choir up here. Let's get them going this morning. Do you appreciate this choir and all these good singers? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me while they're coming to the platform. Let's sing that little chorus. If you can't help me, get out of the way. Amen. Well, if you can't help me, don't try to stop me. The Lord. You can be seated this morning. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing.
Oh my, I thought he called a choir. Come on, choir. Come on, Life Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. And while they're coming, we just want to give the Lord a total praise right now. I'll start while you guys get ready. And saying, Lord, come on, somebody, come on, somebody. Mine eyes, knowing my help. Is coming from you.
It's coming from you.
Lord, the peace that you give. Say amen.
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 Amen. Come on. Come on, children. Kneel down before him. Worship and adore him. Oh, hallelujah. Say, come. Say, come, we've come, Lord. this morning. Amen, amen. I just, choir, there's a little task that we need to perform. Amen. Okay, Brother Louie? Amen. Real quickly, a little bird spoke to me before service started and told me it was someone's birthday today. Amen. So, it's Brother Donnie? Brother Donnie's birthday. Come on, Pastor.
And his wife. And give a hand, everybody. This is the way we do it in South Carolina. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
My mind made up, and I won't come back, for I'm going to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, for I'm going to see my Jesus someday. I'll say it right now. Goodbye.
man, I'd sure hate to have been that little bird that you let that secret out. Praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated this morning. I have a card from the church here. Sister Carol, for your birthday. Brother Donnie, for your birthday. And a wedding anniversary card for the both of you. We'll put this on your desk, Brother Donnie. And just let me say this as... Brother Chisholm's daughter has a song just before he comes to bring the word of the Lord. If she'll come on to the platform and be getting ready to sing for us. We're so honored to have all of you folks with us today in the service. And I just want to say this on behalf of... on behalf of Happy Valley Church, I'll just speak for every one of us. We are very honored to have the ministry in place here that is God has put here. Brother Donnie's been a tremendous blessing to our assembly. We certainly appreciate our pastor and his wife, don't we? Amen. God bless you. Give our sister a nice hand as she sings.
You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. As I bless your holy name, 'cause you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles.
Dedicate a baby, and then we'll let Brother Chisholm come here just shortly. Brother Ben and Sister Alec can bring their baby, Zoe, and we'll dedicate her to the Lord today.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring
Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? We're going to have our brother Chisholm come and speak for us today. I imagine by now he's as cranked up as an eight-day clock. For those of you that don't know what it's like, you're not a preacher, you don't know what it's like to be under that pressure of waiting. It will just about drive you insane. Now, you laugh at that, because you ain't experienced it. But it's one of the most nerve-wracking things that you can go through in your life. He asked me a while ago, do you ever get over it? I said, well, I'll be 62 tomorrow, and I've been preaching since I was 18. I've never got over it yet. And I hope that I don't, if I think that I can do it myself. But it makes you so nervous and under such strain. It's very, very hard to describe. If you could see me back there before I come out, I pace like a mad dog. I go to the bathroom back and forth, and it's just You can't already describe it, can you, Brother Terry? It's a great responsibility to be able to stand here and to speak to the redeemed of the Lamb of God. So I don't want to add any more pressure to him then, do I? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Been a wonderful weekend. We're not even done yet. Praise the Lord. We're just coming to the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll take care of that little bird after the service is over. That little bird's name wasn't Louie, was it? Amen. Let's sing together Amazing Grace, and we'll ask our brother to come and just bring to us what the Lord's placed on his heart today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Seated. Amen. I just thank God. It's got a song I would love to sing, and I thank God, Brother Donnie, just giving us this moment to share, amen, what God put on my heart, and it's a pleasure. How many of you were blessed on last night? Amen. It's a pleasure, it's an honor to, you know, to be with my pastor this morning. It's an honor, amen, to sit with him. His ministry has been a blessing to me. A couple of weeks ago, he preached a message, Demonology. And I think a message ever been preached in 21 years was one of the most inspired messages. It stayed with me all day. It kept me. Toils and I could remember, I could hear his voice. And it wasn't my pastor, but it was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just appreciate it. And I just want to thank God for my wife. She's put up with me. She put up with me. I don't know how she do it. She had to be a special built woman. She has to be. Let's thank God for her, and I want her to know this. You know, over October the 15th will be 35 years she put up with me. Boy, that could be something. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I just don't know. I don't know if we can make it, brother. So I appreciate it. She's been one of a woman. I just don't know what I'd do without her. She understands, and I didn't mean to do all this, but I just want my wife to know that. And man, has there ever been a woman that walked on the face of this globe? It's my wife. I thank God for it. Will you give the Lord a hand? Oh my. You know, I tell folks on the job, I said, I've been almost married 35 years in construction. You don't hear that. And they said, wow. It says, then I began to say, if I had to do it all over again, then they began to look and thought I'm going to do some changes. I said, if I had to do it all over again, I'd marry the same woman. But if we'll change a few things around, but I'll marry the same Gloria Ann. Amen. I just appreciate her. Amen. Let's just try and sing this song. I just want to get that off my heart. Amen. How many of you know we're at the end time? Appreciate Pastor Fred. I appreciate his wife, Sister Beatrice. I really do. She's mean well. She's tough. I hope you understand. She looked for quality. And I really appreciate it. Whew. Give me flat. Y'all pardon me? How many of you know we're at the end time? I feel like a big baby, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. You know, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. The changing of these foul bodies. We go through toils and turmoils, distress of nations. We preach hard. We see difficulties. But we're going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on singing. We're going to keep on praising our God. Until then. It's so plain to see time getting shorter. Anyone can tell this world just cannot stand for the things God created and their beauty. Oh, it's soon now being destroyed by mortal man. Oh, but God is gonna raise him up a nation who will delight in him and do his perfect will. Oh, my friends, I feel the time is drawing nearer. Oh, when we shall see our Savior as he is. But until then, I'll lift the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, until then, I'll lead the lost sheep to the fold. I'll tell the world Jesus lived, he still saved, and he still healed. And you can still confide sweet refuge for your soul. Any day now, we'll be moving to our new mansion that's custom built by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And when we gather around the throne, there with our Savior, oh,
song that the angel cannot say. Let's all stand. But until then, I'll lift the name of Jesus. Yes, I will. Oh, until then, I'll lead the lost sheep to the fold. Sick. Hallelujah. He's still saving. He's still healed. And you can still confide sweet refuge for your soul. Oh, and you can still confide sweet refuge for your soul.
Our heads, kind Heavenly Father. Lord, as we approach your throne today, we ask you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, don't let me say anything, Lord, that's not pleasing in your sight. But Father, give me your grace. Speak to your bride this morning. We need you, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pardon me.
Praise the Lord. Just overwhelming. With joy. My. Pardon me this morning. Man, those you have your Bible, may we turn three passages of Scripture. Nehemiah, Joel, in the book of Jude. Amen. How many of you appreciate the Lord? Amen. How many of you give him honor? Amen. Nehemiah 1 through verse 4. Are we there by saying amen?
Amen.
The word of Nehemiah, the son of Akiah. And it came to pass in the month of Sheshu's, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanan, one of my brethren, came, he and certain of the men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews, and had escaped, which was left of the captive, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remain that are left of captive are there in Providence, in the great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Joel 2 and 25. I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the calipeter, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wonderfully with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, the bride, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Jude 1:1-3. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligently to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you share earnestly content for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you, O God, for the reading of your word. Now sanctify it to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seat. Praise the Almighty God.
Set up here. Amen.
How many of you truly love him? My thought this morning is, I will restore. It's my text, and if I could put a subtext, I would put, don't be distractive. Amen. I will restore, and don't be distracted. The word restore is to give back, to return, to put back in use of service, to put or to bring back in the former or original. Distraction. To draw the attention of mind to defect object, to stir up, to confuse with conflict, emotion, and motive. Amen. Oh my, we're living in an hour, in a time that the enemy is trying to bring a distraction. Trying to get the people of God mind off for the rapture or the coming of the catching away of the church. And if that old devil can do anything that he can, he'll get your mind off of the coming of the Lord, or the rapture, or the changing of these foul bodies. The devil could always show you something else. The devil could always paint you a picture, but he tries his best to get you off your mind off the coming of the Lord. Amen. And I think about, before I get started here, I just want to share a little testimony how this message really came to me. And I remember some years ago, amen, almost about 5 or 6 years ago, I got up one morning and my wife was done left the house, and I walked in my kitchen area, and the Lord just spoke in my heart and said, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah has never been a book that I've read, but somehow I just dropped my Bible on the table and my Bible came open to Nehemiah. Then I began to read about Nehemiah. Amen. But then 7 years ago, amen, and back in 2016, I was coming home from work, working at this pharmaceutical plant, coming home from work, and went to another job. And after I left that job for about 8 in the afternoon, on the way riding home, the Lord, I began to think about, amen, the message, Nehemiah. How, and I was preaching a message that restoring the shattered walls of Jerusalem. And that being said, and my wife always tell me, she said, honey, that message was very inspired. And amen. And so as I began to ride home, Brother Donnie, and amen, and I began to think about Nehemiah. Amen. How that Nehemiah, amen, restored the walls in Jerusalem. And when I got home, I spoken to my wife and about it, and amen, and I went and listened at the tape of Nehemiah 1 and 2. And that night, I fell off to sleep, Brother Joey. I fell off to sleep. And my God is so good, and I thank God that he still speaks. I thank God that we got an ear that we can hear. Amen. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be hearing from the Almighty God. I thank God that we got a king that can come down and still speak to his beloved bride. And the Lord woke me up like 2:45 a.m. July the 16th. And the Lord began to, when I woke up in the room, my wife was asleep, my kids were asleep. Amen. In a dark room, the Lord spoke to me. I heard, and when he said, Joel 2. Brother Donnie, he said, Joel 2. And I lay there in a dark room, and the voice kept saying, Joel 2. And I'm like, Lord, you know how you're real tired, you don't want to break that sleep. So I just kind of lay there, it was almost like an alarm clock, kept saying, Joel 2. And I'm like, oh, I heard you. Then after a while, I just opened my eyes in the dark room, and I began to think, Joel 2. Joel 2, just not completely come through. But then I began to think, Joel 2. And as I began to doze back off, I think to myself, I said, Lord, where is Joel too? I said, where's that? Just doze back off, believe it or not. But Brother Fred, the Lord, he's perfect in everything he does. When God starts a work, God's going to finish it. Even though I dozed back off to sleep, God said, no, 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 no. I'm going to complete this. Boy, I'm talking to you. I want you to wake up. Listen to me. And when as I dozed back off, the Lord spoke to me again and said, Joel 2:25. That's that God heaven 2. And I got up and I began to, it was 3:00 a.m. in the morning. Then I read about Joel. Then I began to think about Nehemiah. So then I got up on the floor and my daughter was, amen, getting up 3:00 in the morning or 4:00. Getting ready to go to work, and I'm walking through the house and get up in the morning, my wife's sleeping, I'm preaching to her. Can you imagine? She's trying to sleep and I'm waking up. I said, glory, God just spoke to me. God just said, I will restore. Restore what? I was going through a process of struggling, losing things, couldn't hardly get my feet in the air, going through a lot, but God said, I will restore. All that the enemy has destroyed, all that the enemy attack you, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to get the bishop. I'm not going to get that sister, but I'm personally, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore. Then as I walked through the house, and my wife woke up and I'm walking through my house and my daughter Shekinah, she was in the mirror fixing her hair. And I walk in there and I said, Shekinah, God just spoke to me, baby. I said, God just spoke to Papa. Y'all don't know what it feels like when you get God to come down and speak to you. In a dark age of Laodicea, when the world is going cold, you got a Jehovah God that'll come down and say, wake up, because I need to talk to you. I need you to tell the people, I'm about to come, and I'm going to restore all that the enemy destroyed. I'm going to restore your health. I'm going to restore your mind. I'm going to restore your marriage. I'm going to do it. And Brother Donnie, like I said, I was struggling, going through, couldn't hardly get ends to meet. And a guy, a Pentecostal, God just walked up to me. He said, Brother Chisholm, he said, is God finna bless you? God going to bless your ministry. And I'm like, how's God going to bless my ministry? And I just was told that I was nothing but a song leader. I wasn't even an evangelist. I was just a song leader. That's all I am. How is God going to restore? But God said, God can't lie. If he make a promise, I don't care how dark it looks, God will restore. Just don't be distracted, because I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have a bride tree. All that the early church had, I'm going to restore it back. A gentleman told me, Pentecostal denomination, he told me, how God going to bless? He said, people going to wonder. That's 2016, 15. He said, your minister going to make a change. I'm like, make a change. And you know, and he's Pentecostal. Yeah, right. Y'all always be hearing voices. After a while, you're getting ready to speak to me, speak in tongues. Yeah, right. I'm hearing you. That's what he said. He said, but God is getting ready to move. I was like, wow. God going to bless you. And I was just facing losing my materialistic thing. What are you talking about? He said, but God, he said, I don't know, but God is telling me to tell you I'm going to restore. And from that time until this time, it has been a restoration. It's been awakening. And the thing about it, no man got nothing to do with it. It's just that appointed time. I don't care how dark it looks. If your name is written on the Lamb Book of Life, God will restore you. God will restore your health. God will restore your marriage. God will restore your finances. God is God. I'm going to restore. Oh my. God promised.
God promised, I don't care how, amen, the enemy comes, distraction. And I remember, say something else, tell something else. That happened. But I remember it was right during the time, maybe been a month or a few weeks before 9/11 attack, or perhaps it was after. I was working on this construction site. Don't tell me you don't have to have a suit on or a tuxedo. You don't have to be waiting on. You could be the lowest of the lowest. God will find you. God will speak to you. I don't care you sitting in the restroom. If he got want you, he'll open the door. He'll come in the restroom. Don't tell God. Don't tell women, women, don't come in here. He'll come in the restroom. Are you hearing me? Oh, my God. I was working on the job, Brother Donnie. Right after 9/11 or before, working on this construction site. Oh, my. It's right when we was, it was lunchtime. And I'll tell you, I'm saying this to try to set a foundation. It was lunchtime, and we took our tools off. You construction worker, I want you to see the picture. Rugged, dirty boots, cursing and swearing, filth, rugged. Rugged men's scars and tattoos and broken teeth and women with combat boots and cursing. All that I have to deal with. Are y'all feeling me yet? And in the midst of all of that, as I was standing there, taking my harness, my tool belt off, standing on the concrete, I took my tool belt off and I dropped it on the concrete and I ate lunch. I was so weary and so tired, I decided to take me a nap. And when I took a nap, it was time to go back to work. And when I woke up, Brother Donnie, I felt like, I don't know what it feels like to commit adultery. I don't know. But it was, Brother Donnie, I felt like I was naked. I felt like somebody was watching me. I felt fear. You know what was happening? I'm trying to calm myself, and my co-worker's standing there talking to me, and I'm like, something's wrong. Then all of a sudden, I hear the voice spoke to me and say, you think you better than everybody else. And I'm standing there putting my harness on and say, you think you better? Who have you told about me? Have you witnessed? You just concerned about your family? What about others? And I said, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, and the guy's talking to me, but yet I'm hearing a voice scream in my ear. You think you better? Who have you told about me? And I'm sitting there, and I don't know what to do. And Brother Donnie, I put my tools on, and I ran down the hill. You could run, but you can't hide. You mothers, you fathers, don't worry about your children. God got his arms all around them. They may go far and near, but God got their number. So I went on down the hill and went to work. And worked hard. In my mind, I wonder, what was that? Was that just my thinking out real loud? No, that just wasn't my thought. That was God. He got a message for me. He got a word. See, a lot of people think God just speaking days of old. But let me tell you what, he still speaks today. He spoke last night. Are you hearing me? But the thing is, what are you going to do about it? A lot of people that's going to church, they heard a good sermon last night, and that's all they hear. But you got to put that thing to action. So, Brother Donnie, it's almost like God was following me. I said, just at a point in time, son, I'm going to finish what I was saying. Don't you ignore me, because I'm talking to you. So I worked whole 5 hours. At the end of the day, I forgot all about it. But God hasn't forgot. God is mindful. As God make a promise, sometimes he look like he's forgot about you. But God has not forgotten about you. God remember all of your prayers, all of your tears that you share. He's remember. So when it's all over, Brother Terry, I forgot about it. I walked back up to the gang boss. Same spot. God said, that's all right. I'm just going to wait. Is it like a rat? You find a hole, just stand right there. That rat run out. That rat got to come right back through that same hole. I'm not calling myself a rat, but sometimes I feel like old rat. God, wait till I got back in the same spot. Elisha, I thank God for my son, Elisha. I thank God for him wherever he's at. But when I got back to the gang box, Brother Donnie, I took my tools off again, forgot about it. And this time he came again. And this time when he came, it was so loud. Amen. I didn't know what to do. Guys was talking to me again. Amen. Said, Rev, you have a good day. But I'm hearing this voice stream in my ear like a bomb was getting, like some plane was going to fall from the sky. I must run to shelter. So as they were talking, I took my harness off, throwed it in the gang box, and I fled down the hill. And I was running. I was afraid because something was happening. Nobody understand. Brother Donnie, I looked for a shelter. It was too far to go up on the building. The only shelter that I saw was an outdoor toilet. Come on, construction worker. Tell these people what it's like out there. The only place there was is in a porta john. And I ran in that porta john. When I rushed in there, I closed the door. And I sat down on the seat. And I wept like a baby. And God spoke to me and said, Ezekiel 9. The only people, the prophet of God said, do you know the only people that will be saved? It's those that sigh and cry. Those that sigh and cry. It's not about a good sermon. I'm sick of them highlighting. I don't want to be. It's not even about me. It's not good I can speak because I'm not a good talker. But it's about the King. We need to exalt him. It's not about my shoes. It's not about my Stacy Alley. Are you hearing me? It's not about my Steve Harvey suit. All that's going to burn. None of that's got nothing to do with your salvation. We need help. We need God. We need God. The young people need an answer. They're struggling. They need a savior. They need somebody. Ezekiel 9. But Brother Brown said, how many here in Jeffersonville is sighing and crying? Raise your hand. He said, see? Nobody sighing and crying. The young people is caught up in, what's his name? LeBron James. They're more concerned about LeBron James going to the Lakers. You want to talk about Jay? Talk about James, the brother of Don. Somebody say amen. I'm not against that. What I'm trying to say, you might know about LeBron James, but you need to know your Bible. You need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that he is your Savior. You need to know that he is. Glory to God. Oh my. Oh my. God said, I will restore. I will restore. Brother Brandon said in another place, he said, how many sighing and crying? And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you are sighing and crying here in Johnson City, Tennessee, for the sins, the immoral dress, the filth that is going on in this nation? Do you really concern? Or you just know, I'm going to Happy Valley Church? Let me tell you what, at that day, Brother Donnie can't put you in there. Let me tell you what, if I go to hell, I deserve to go to hell. I'm going in the rapture because my name was on the book of life before the foundation of the world. That's why the devil hates me. That's why he know I'm like a locomotive. I restore him. God said, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore all of the years that the pomegranate worm, the locust, and the caterpillar has eaten. Listen to what the prophet of God says. In 1954, he said, I will restore, said the Lord. He said, I thought, oh God, is there hope? He said that Joel said, I will restore, said the Lord. 1962, restoration of the briar tree. He said, all that the winter cold, the coldness of the winter, religious kill out there, and nearly this, and nearing the Son of God in these last days to the life gain. I will restore, said the Lord. How many of you believe that this morning? I will restore. And I think about, brother and sister, as we enter into the book of Nehemiah, I thought about how, amen, the story goes on, how the Jews, they live in Persia. The Jews were, amen, invaded by the Syrians and then the Babylonians. The Jews was carried away by the Babylonians, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The pastor spoke on it last night. Are you hearing me? The Babylonians fell into the Persia, and the Persia became the world leader of that day. Nehemiah was a Jew living in Persia. My thing is, how did this come about? How did they got in this shape? How did the church got in such a condition? Why is the coldness swept through our churches? I'm talking about individual. Why is the desire is gone? Why there's no more all night prayer? Why? But God said, I'm going to restore. Don't worry about what's going on. There's going to be a bride. Let me tell you what, I don't believe God allowed me to come way up here to Tennessee just to be preaching to anybody. But I'm preaching to a class of people that is predestinated right in here. I'm not talking about in South Carolina, in our little church, because we got bride members all in there. But I'm talking about the bride here in Jackson City, Tennessee. I'm speaking to some people that come from the very mind of God. I'm speaking to some people that know who they are. And once you know who you are, you need to take it. You need to force it. How did the church got in the condition? Well, I'll tell you. Ezra, a priest, that's right. Somehow, the king, Cyrus, God put in his heart, and he built a temple. And that's right. But when Cyrus had this temple built, the people lived in the temple. They worship, and all of a sudden, they start worshiping out of God. They start listening to someone else instead of standing with the writing of Moses. Some of them, believe it or not, they got caught up with they got caught up with other commentaries. Seems like the church going cold. Well, maybe Benny Hinn, maybe he got an answer for us. Maybe what? Jimmy Swagger, he committed adultery. We can't deal with him. I will deal with the last angel, Billy Graham, but he's gone. So I don't know. We got to look to somebody. I'm trying to tell you, we already got the answer. You got to stay with the book. You got to stay with the book. Once you stay with the book, then God can't do nothing but bless you. When a nation leave God, that nation is corrupted. That's what Solomon says. But the people, they feel superior. They feel like they okay, we in the message. Oh, we go to Brother Fred Mullins. He's well known. That's got nothing to do with your walk with God. Oh, we go to Brother Donnie. We go to Happy Valley. Everybody knows about our church. I ain't thinking about Happy Valley. I'm trying to tell you, the devil don't care nothing about a Happy Valley. The devil wants to know. Amen. Let me tell you what, church. The devil ain't worrying about William Branham. Because William Branham can't do nothing now. William Branham ain't a great. Are you hearing me? He's not worrying about Luther. Luther's not finished his work. He's not worrying about Irina. What he's trying to get now is you. You that powerhouse. You that last day church. You that super ray. That's who he wanted to stop. Living good in Judah. It was living good. A new temple. You know how people act when they get a new church? You ever notice, Brother Donnie, people that got new clothes on? You don't know it's Brother Louis that name be up here all the time? Huh? They want to be seen. A lot of people. A new church bring new spirits. Are you with me? Are you with me? So they, those folks, they felt relaxed, you know. Now, after a while, because they were Israelite, they got to a place, it's kind of relaxed, and they didn't hardly read the scrolls of Moses anymore. They, you know, they got to a place where, I don't know, but that I want to say television, but television was there, but it hadn't been invented yet. But, you know, in the modern day, they're kind of getting away from the original writing. They start going back to, you know, television. Huh? Going back to getting no more television and no more one-hour monster. When you talk about television, you can see people, no, don't take my TV. You got to let it go. See, it's coming out of Egypt. Amen. Egypt's a type of the world organization. Redemption has two parts to it. There's a coming out and there's a going in too. And what has happened, Brother Mullis, a lot of people come out, but they got complacent. They got relaxed. Let me tell you what, you just can't stand there. You got to go on and get the person of the Holy Ghost. You got to get something that'll change your life. See, I want the word to take effect on me. I want the word to bind me. Are you hearing me? I want the word to bind me. Ever since my pastor preached that message, everywhere I go, I can still hear that demon knowledge. Don't go to church and try to fool everybody. Don't be one thing in church and another thing on Sunday morning. Are you hearing me? Yeah, let me tell you what. Do you want to know the best you? The best you is not sitting here today. The best you when you are all alone. Somebody help me lift Jesus. That's the real you. You just faking when you come to church. But what about when you're under pressure? I'm getting ready to preach. Give me a moment here. But I'm going to tell you what. The people got relaxed. Maybe they didn't read the scroll anymore. They didn't listen to the priest anymore. They got to a play. They went back to doing things that they left in Egypt, Brother Ray. Huh? They start back going back, eating onions and cucumbers. That's why they hooked on T.D. Jakes. So, pardon me, where did that come from? They said one of the most greatest leaders of all time. The greatest leader of all time is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it used to have been a time when they used to go to the temple and they used to pray. But they don't really need that now. Why should we really pray when other churches, Brother Donnie's well known. Look at the members he got. That's all to tell you. Brother Donnie Church, we ain't talking about Brother Donnie Church. Different church, different city cares, different spirits. Are you hearing me? What they do here in the mountains, we don't have mountains. We got flat land, so we can't act like we flying over the mountain. We're on the flat ground, so we're dealing with different demons. Are you hearing me? So that's kind of, you know, instead of praying, you know, and seeking God, the people start going astray. At nighttime, brother, you ought to see the prayer that they pray. It's no more sighing and crying for their loved ones, praying for the pastor. But instead of praying, they're talking about it. That's why we struggle so. Because the people, it hurts to see the way the condition of people, the young people, the old people, they are losing it. No more joy. It's almost like, if I just know I've been to church, it's almost like they're telling God, okay, God, what else do you want from me? God, I've been to both services. Then God said, well, what did the preacher preach on? They ain't got enough revelation to say, well, Brother Fred, oh, that's easy. He preached on the pulpit. That's how people are. So people get to a place, they just get relaxed. Let me tell you what. They keep this old boy in shape. I'm not glorifying myself, but being a construction worker, working 10 hours a day, driving 2 hours to work, and I'm almost 58 years old. I'm not a young buck anymore. But I got a love for this message. I feel like I just got my foot into it. I love it. Just I love it like I love it. It's my life. Don't mess with this. I'm funny about my books. I don't care. You can take the newspaper and you can pop all the flies you want, but don't mess with my books. They don't sit on my books. Some of you take your books and you got ketchup on it. You got it up on. Hello, everybody. Your Bible, you hadn't read it since last Sunday. It's sitting there. Come on, everybody. You might as well raise your hand. If the shoe fit, then put your foot in it. Looking all religious sitting up in here. Everybody looking all pious. Don't try to fool yourself. The Holy Ghost is telling on you. You don't read your Bible. You don't get choked. And you know what gets me, Brother Don? They come to church like you some type of God. They come to church looking all holy. Yeah, Brother Don, are you 60, almost 62 today or tomorrow? You've been on this road before. Husband, wife, going through spasm, fight like cats and dogs. But when they come to church, act all holy. Brother Donnie on the outside, and they pull up. They'll pull up and they, yes, honey, honey, I'll be right in. Just get Johnny to sit and I'll be right in. That ain't a real you. Fuss all the way. I'm finna say, I ain't leave what I'm at. Let me tell you what. Don't try to be like nobody else's family. Try to be like Jesus. Oh, I love Brother Bernard. I love this family. No, I don't want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be just like Brother Donnie and Sister Carol. After church, they just get off and they ride off in the sunset. You don't know what's going on in that vehicle. My wife and I, years ago, I'm talking about almost we first got married. We was riding in the car. We was going to a tent meeting. Man, some cars falling up. Me and my wife got into it a little bit. I know y'all don't do it here in Tennessee, but we does it in South Carolina. Huh? Amen. Me and my wife was pointing finger, and I was telling her, nah, 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 and we were barking like cats and dogs. There's the cat again. Amen. Barking like cats and dogs. Amen. Ruff, 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 row, row. There we were. And we ride, pull up on the church yard. Pull up on the church, y'all. I said, calm down now. Okay. Why we couldn't stop then? But oh, now we trying to act because we're on the presence of the Lord. The Lord is everywhere. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let this light shine. But the thing about it, when we got out of the car walking across the yard, a sister ran up and said, Brother Chisholm, me and my mom were just talking about you and your wife. I'm like, but now you all see how I look real holy. I'm upset, but I had to calm down. And she'd say, my wife and I was talking about you and your wife. Y'all look like y'all just in the fellowship. We just love the way y'all couple, just way y'all riding. I know y'all just talking about the word. I say, my wife, please be quiet. Don't break the mystery. Are you hearing me? But we need something to restore us back. Something that shut them devil down. That's got to be a God that can come in our midst and say, it's time for all of that. Let me hear up here, for I know it's going to be dark to reckon. Amen. Let me finish this up. Amen. But they was living in Judah. But then the people start getting off the word. Are you hearing me? The anointing. I feel the anointing. Sister Song. Somebody told me that, I'm not going to call name, but she sang the song, Break Every Change. Break every chain. And somebody said, whoo, a preacher told me, that is nothing but the Holy Ghost. That woman, I said, how could she have the Holy Ghost in her soul and still wearing pants and cutting her hair? But she spoke in tongues. I said, the devil could speak in tongues. The devil could do all this what I'm doing. But one thing that devil can't do, he can't live the word. That's why I got him, man. He can't live the word. He can't love you. Woo! My. Woo, glory to God. Where am I? Amen. The people got relaxed. Got relaxed. You know, get up and sing. Live all kind of life. Husband and wife fight like cats and dogs. A little bit of cursing, not that bad, real bad, but you know, just enough to get you. You know, not just a little teeny curse word. You know, and get up here and sing. And oh, you talking about anointed? Somebody told me, said, Brother Chilton, you sure anointed. That scares me sometimes. Don't you know in this last day that the minister will be so anointed? I could be so anointed and still bust hell wide open. I could get up here and move the whole audience, but treat my wife like she's a... Oh, my God. That ain't what's a hill of beans. It's got to be a life. Are you hearing me? But all that got to a place, the people start getting complacent. The people start losing the joy to come into church. This is kind of miss a service or come when they can. It doesn't really matter. I mean, look, Brother Donnie hadn't come out the back room yet, and he really don't know we're late. Let's one of those deacons tell, because they tell everything. They don't wait till the Holy Ghost is there. They tell Brother Donnie, Brother Donnie, that family was late again. See, Brother Donnie got time to preach on family. He want to preach on the heavenly family. Are you hearing me? And that's the way the devil want to do it. But let me tell you what, the church start getting off. Start getting off, start cooling off. People start losing their desire from praying and family devotion. Sitting at the table and husband and wife don't have time anymore because everybody busy. Everybody busy. I remember, pardon me, Brother Mullins, but I remember the time when we first started 22 years ago. I remember all of the church family used to meet at the pastor house, and David and my son, they used to play ball, and it was such a love occasion. You talking about coming together, breaking bread and eating hot dogs and having a good time. But now people don't mean no harm, but everybody busy. Everybody going to do their own thing. Everybody making them dead president. Everybody busy. I'm too busy. Matter of fact, I can't hardly make it. I'm about to pass out. But the Lord is telling me to get another job so I can help the church. That's how the devil do it. He's trying to kill you. But the people got to a place, they start sinning. And when they start sinning, God raised up evil man. God raised up king, and the king Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. You read in 2 Kings, amen, 25 and verse 10. That Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans army came in and destroyed Jerusalem. Tore the walls down. Burned it with fire. Oh my. The people was captured and was put away. Am I coming on down? I'm just going to close the book and I'm just going to preach to you. Give me about 30 minutes. But the question was, Nehemiah one day being a Jew. That's all he was. He was a Jew. Pardon me. He was a cupbearer. One that served the king. Oh my. And Nehemiah's job was to go before the king. And let me tell you what. To go before the king. I can't pronounce his name. Artaxerxes. Okay, that's good. I hope y'all heard it. But when Nehemiah go before the king, see, you just don't approach the king any kind of way. You know, not trying to glory your pastor, but people talk any kind of way to one another now. They'll look the brother Donnie right in the face. Let me tell you, I'm not even coming back to your church no more. You and your wife, Sister Carol. What kind of nonsense is that? People losing their respect. So you didn't go before the king in the type of way. You would get your head amputated so fast. But it was one thing for Nehemiah to serve the king because he did it on occasion. He poured the king his wine and he walked away. And the king looked at Nehemiah. Sometime perhaps his wives will be sitting there. But one particular time, Nehemiah asked a question. He saw some of his brethren coming. One of his brother, you read about it in Nehemiah, the 7th chapter, I think. His brother, Hannah. Amen. And Nehemiah asked his brother concerning the Jews. He said, "How is my brother?" See, people don't have concern. And somebody told me, I found out what is happening. People had lost their first love. People have lost the love for the message. They'll lose their desire to read their Bible. And Nehemiah said, "How is my brethren doing?" And they said, "Nehemiah said, the walls of Jerusalem is broken down. And the gates are burnt with fire. Our brothers is in great affliction." Broken down. So can you imagine now, for some preachers, amen, they'll hear something going on. Yeah, well, you know, well, maybe they should have been praying. I don't want to never get to a place I lose the desire for God's people. But not Nehemiah. The Bible said when Nehemiah heard the words, that Nehemiah sat down and he cried. Why did he cry? Because he had a broken heart. That was his family. Brother Donnie, if I ever come here and just feel like, well, Brother Donnie got to have me here. The folks love me. If I ever get to that place, then I start preaching and doing anything I want because they love me. It's not about that. But there are some precious people in here. There are some marriages that's on the edge. There's some people that need an answer. They need God. But Donnie, believe it or not, you got people sitting here almost like 9/11. When them Twin Towers was attacked, we had no idea. Tell the truth. No idea them Twin Towers coming out of zero ground. But it did. And you got people sitting here, sitting on a bomb. Don't know what to do. Thinking about committing suicide. Thinking about divorcing. Thinking about leaving their loved one. But I'm coming to tell you, God's going to rebuild the wall. God's going to rebuild the wall. Don't worry about your church. Don't worry about the problems in the church. Just stay with the word. God will handle the church. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, my. Brother Don, I just learned that Ezra, he was praying. Ezra was praying because he felt God. Amen. The sin, he allowed the sin to come in. Ezra was praying. And on the other half, Nehemiah was praying. Oh my, God works on both ends, Brother Donnie. Oh my, Brother Donnie, when you want to call a solemn assembly, amen, it may not be the whole congregation, but it'd be one or two in there. Say, I wish the pastor would call a solemn assembly because somebody know it's take prayer. Yeah. Nehemiah began to pray. Nehemiah, the Bible say he wept and he cried concerning his people. And he fasted and he prayed. I'm going to it because I'm wasting a lot of time. But Nehemiah prayed. If you go read Nehemiah, look at the prayer that he approached the throne. Nehemiah prayed. He said, we have sinned it. Our fathers, we have sinned it. We have dealt crutches with you. We allow, now you know what today's sin is? Unbelief. We allow unbelief to come in. We allow the devil to hinder us from believing that God's still God, that God's still the healer. God can still regulate your problems. God can still solve your problem. But we allow unbelief to come in, because the last time I claimed my salvation, the devil fought me. He's supposed to do that. You ain't seen nothing until you get the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, man, you ain't seen nothing till you get the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, every gun of the devil is trained on you. Once you declare this, the enemy is out to attack you. Somebody say, man, Nebuchadnezzar is going to tear you down. The Nehemiah prayed, and he prayed. He was burdened about his people. Brother Donnie, this drives me to it. I remember not long ago I was at this church preaching, Brother Joy. And Lord don't never let me get to a place of a ministry. I'm just so special. Ain't nothing about me. I stink just like the next man. If I don't comb my hair, I roll up in knots. If I don't spray myself, I smell. I know you don't like that kind of preacher, but I'm tearing myself down. See, a lot of preachers come out here and exalt themselves. He's nothing good about this old boy. I just told you from the beginning, what for the grace of God, my wife couldn't live with me. Sometimes I get this as crazy as a bat. I know y'all don't do that up here. Hello, everybody. But Nehemiah got to a place. He got burdened about his people, and he fasted. When was the last time you fast? These things overcome by fasting and praying. You got some demons, some warlords that you seem like you just, I just can't get over that lust devil. A gentleman told me, sitting down at the table the other day, he said, Rel, he's Pentecost. He said, no, he ain't calling me Rel, he's a preacher. He said, he gave me some scriptures, the Psalms, and he was telling me about the Lord. He said, I got one problem. I said, what's that? I said, whatever you do, don't open that door. I said, whatever you do. And he said, I love my wife. And he called his wife. Talked to his wife. Just had a newborn baby. The devil don't care nothing about you and your wife talking. That's his job, to uprupt you. That's his job, is to tear up marriages. The devil don't care. You get on the phone, call your wife. Hey, honey, how you doing? I love you. The devil love her too? Not in that way. He loved to take her joy from her. And he called his wife and said, honey, I love you, this and that and the third. And he looked at me. He said, preacher, he said, pray for me. He said, it's a battle. I said, I'm going to tell you something. One thing don't you never do. Don't never open that door. He said, preacher, I have already. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I cheated on my wife. I said, the best thing I could tell you is hold on and fight every day, because it's going to torment you for the rest of your life. He said, I told my wife, but that devil keep attacking me. He said, every time I see a Jezebel, he ain't called Jezebel, but I got to turn my head. Oh, my God. That's why you need the Holy Ghost in this hour. You need something that can, that's on the devil trying to, why you look at something you can't have? Why look in magazines? You can't have that. The devil be fooling you. God, you lusting over something you can't even have. Huh? Following something that you can't even have. Hey, man, you got your queen at the house. Sometimes I tell my wife, I say, baby, you're getting old. But guess what? I'm getting old with her too. I'm glad we're getting old together, so I can't hardly turn my head now. I go, we're getting old together. Huh? I thank God, amen. I can't move like I used to, amen. See, I'm afraid trying to get out there, act like a young buck. I'm getting old now. Oh, arthritis is trying to take me over. So me and my wife, we got to walk around together. We got to sit on the front porch and rock it by baby and talk about our grandchildren. We ain't got time to go out there and run in the beach and play in the water. Are y'all going to let me preach or look at me? But Nehemiah prayed. You ever get to a place you done lost joy for the people? You ain't in trouble. You need to go, preacher, preacher. You need to go back to the altar. I know a sister one time was going through, but Fred, know what I'm talking about, going through. And the brother looked at her, and the pastor, my pastor asked him about the sister. He said, she'll be all right. Sister's marriage was destroyed. Marriage still separating. The only thing he said, she'll be all right. See, that's cold. That's not the spirit of Nehemiah. That's cold. She'll be all right. Even though she's leaving your church, you still should have the love for her because she's a human being. But I'm afraid people are losing their joy. They preach one thing, but God knows they're living another thing. They'll talk about love, but buddy, they can't get out there and manifest that. It's good for me to, it's easy for me to love Brother Donnie, but love that man that just stabbed me. Love that man that caused me to lose my jaw. Then you want to know you got the real thing. Then you'll know. Somebody help me lift Jesus. But, oh my, what time is it? But Nehemiah began to pray. But Nehemiah's thing was, he had to go before the king. Whew. Now that is not easy. Well, it's easy, but yet it's not easy. The reason I'm saying that, Nehemiah had to go before the king. In his heart, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and reestablish them wall. But he's going to ask the king petition. He's going to ask the king to grant him. You're going to ask the king something that his family member was a part of. His ancestors had that wall torn down. And you're going to ask him to allow you to go back. You must be out of your mind. And Nehemiah know that. But Nehemiah went before the king. Let me tell you what, church of the living God. The Bible said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you this morning. Amen. You're looking at your problem, your fault, and your failure. You got a right by the child of God. You could go before the king. Amen. And you can ask the king anything that you want. And you desire the Lord and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Nehemiah went before the king, but the thing that bothered Brother Donnie, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed to God, and I love this. He made it, amen, he got it in a way. He said, Lord, when I go before this king, this man, this day, not tomorrow, but I'm going before the king today. Lord, I'm going to try for this job. I want you to intervene. They say that nobody can get this job. But Lord, I want you to go on that job. I want you to have that nurse to be out that day. I want you to do this. Tell God how you want it. You his daughter. You his son. Nehemiah went before the king. And as he began to pour the wine for the king grabbed the wine. He began to sip it. And he looked at his wife. I'm paraphrasing. He touched his wife. And she whispered in the ear, said, something wrong with Nehemiah. He says, I noticed that. Nehemiah poured the wine. He was so nervous. And the king said, Nehemiah, something is bothering you. Nehemiah, king, oh great king, live forever. He said, Nehemiah, something wrong about your countenance. And let me tell you what. You could deal with sin so you could come to church and you could be looking good. But sin could, unbelief could be all on you. You can't even praise the Lord no more like you used. You can't hardly shout no more. You can't because of guilt that destroyed your marriage. But let me tell you what, Nehemiah said, King, okay, how can I be happy when my people, walls are torn down? And Brother Donnie, a few weeks ago, I was at this church preaching, and the Holy Ghost really fell down. And a young lady, my age, we were married about the same year, 35 years, she came up in the line. And I preached on the lost corn. The lady lost her corn, lost her joy, lost faith. And she come up in the line, she said, I said, sister, what do you want God to do? Woman's tight to church. I said, what do you want God to do? She said, Brother Chisholm, I just don't know anymore. Brother Don, we couldn't connect. She said, I don't know anymore. I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know. She said, y'all talking about the Lord to come? He hasn't come. I knew she was in trouble. I said, sister, you got to believe. She said, I don't know anymore. Then she goes on and say, my husband, Our marriage is on the edge. We're getting ready to separate. I'm saying, no. I'm saying to myself, you can't do that. I'm looking at her husband. He out there praising the Lord. I have no idea. And even from that day to this day, my heart, I don't want to see marriage separate, Brother Dottie. I don't want to see churches. I don't want to see family. I don't want to see pastors squabble with the members. It ain't good. It's bad when the pastor can't get along with his deacon. They got a conflict. It's bad. And we got all this Holy Ghost. It makes me wonder. Nehemiah said, Lord, and Brother Dottie, a few years ago, a dear lady, very close to me, she was going through something. Pardon me. She was going through some problems in her marriage. Brother Dottie, I'm trying to close. She was going through some problems. Went down some dark road. Her husband left her. Children got on drugs. She didn't know what to do. She tried to come to church. And what she did, she told the pastor something in confidence. That's why the Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's nothing wrong with telling somebody, but you better know that that man know God. And that man, he got to be trustworthy. But he get around his best friend. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to keep it up on the oath. That is a dangerous man. He'll tell everything. You can't trust him. A man's words is his bond. Once the king signed a petition, that's it. John the Baptist, your head got to go off because I signed the petition. But a sister told me, she said, I don't know anymore. She said, I'm just quitting. I said, no, sister. Why? She said, I'm just quitting. She said, I told the pastor something in confidence. And it got around all around the church. And the sister told me. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, sister, just trust God. Yeah, but I had confidence in my leader. I said, sister, just trust in God. She said, and I prayed and my children is all on drugs. I said, sister, trust God. She said, I don't know anymore. She said, ain't nobody in the church is right. That is a downfall. That is a downfall. You can't look at it that way. You got to. I don't care if everybody's wrong. I'm coming to church for one thing. I want to hear the word because I got to be changed. I'm closing. It's almost about one. But I said, sister, don't do that. She said, I'm just quitting. I said, sister, please, please, woman, type the church. You want to know where the church at today? Watch the women. That's what the prophet said. You see how women's getting out of place now? You see how women's getting real bold and they'll talk back to their husband? She don't mean that, but it's the spirit of Thyatira. Y'all could help me preach or what? It's the spirit of the age. You got to pray that you don't enter into that. Are you hearing me? You don't mean to, but the spirit is so dominant. They could hear a good sermon, but a wife would take her husband back at me in the corner and talk to him like he's a schoolboy. And get up in church and praise God. Amen. Trying to call the fire down. You're going to call fire down, all right? It's going to be the wrong fire. Lord, don't let me be a hypocrite. Oh, my. Ever since the pastor preached that message, you could be two people. You could have the Holy Ghost 24/7. Still die and go to hell. That Holy Ghost got to be in the inside. It's got to be a transforming power. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to burn the thing out of us. And that same sister, next I saw her on Facebook. I don't have Facebook. I mean, that's yours. You want to put. And somebody told me, why don't you get on the book? But you don't get your Facebook. I said, I already been on the book. Lamb Book of Life. What book you talking about? You got me all confused. And that same sister, next time I saw her, somebody showed me a picture. A godly woman. A woman that was dedicated to God. But she married the wrong man. I can't think of the man's name. Had the vineyard. He was a good man, the prophet said.
but he married the wrong woman. He married Jezebel. I wonder who you married. Are you hearing me? But I said, sister, don't do that. Next I saw long, beautiful hair. She done cut it off like Harry Berry, as I'm saying her name right. I got earrings and makeup, and I look at it, my heart began to go out. And I said, God, me as a minister, as I got through preaching, the brother Don, I went in the back. I told that sister, I said, don't leave your husband. She said, it's over. I said, oh God, he's out there praying God, praising God. And she had no idea that woman is being distracted. Maybe she's trying to leave because there's another man. Maybe someone on the job is treating her a little more kinder and sweeter. That what happened to Eve. The serpent beguiled her. But let me tell you, church, stay with the word of God. Stay with the word of God. So Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, and Nehemiah had the walls built. I got to go here with this. Nehemiah went and got the temple. The king granted a petition. He went before the governor. Everything fell in place. He got the temple, but Nehemiah built the wall. And my clothes are what I'm trying to say. When Nehemiah got those people together, they travel 1,000 miles. What about you? We've been looking for the rapture for a long time now, but I'm not tired. We may be going through the desert, but I'm not tired. I'm still going on with the Lord. And but when they got there, what I love about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah got to the place, Nehemiah told nobody what he was about to do. So I mean, good to tell everything. Sometimes you need to keep things a secret until you come into a manifestation. Sometimes you tell everybody what's getting ready to happen, and the devil hindered the next day. But Nehemiah kept it quiet for days. Nehemiah viewed the wall. Nehemiah saw where the walls was burnt, the gate was destroyed. But one thing I like about it, the foundation was still there. And Nehemiah waited a while. He got off his horse and he rode, walked around, and he saw the gates burnt down, this gate and that wall. And Nehemiah went back to the people. Then he told the people, you know what they say? Nehemiah, we rebuild. In my closing, I want to say today, could you as a bride members, can you say, I'm willing to help build the wall? You say, what wall? The wall of faith. We need to build the wall of faith. Why we need to build the wall of faith? Because we need Israel to come in and preach the law back. So we need a faith bank. Amen. When the minister's preaching, just like in the old day, we need a wall of faith. And I want to tell you, family, this morning, you could be a part. Even the sisters got together and helped build that wall. You got to get to a place. You got to be ready to fight and pray. While they was building the wall, some had sword and some was laying bricks. But you got to pray in this hour. Watch as well as pray. Musician, approach this way. Rebuild the wall. Rebuild the wall. Re-establish your walls. In your home, your walls been torn down. I just couldn't get in this like I want. But your home, your marriage, you lost that joy for your husband. Brother Brandon said, the way you treat your husband is the way you treat Christ. You don't hardly want your husband around you. Don't touch me. And that's the way we feel about Christ. Do you love him? Give me the key of F. Where the musician? Where Brother Fred, Brother Musician? I want you to think today. Has Nebuchadnezzar came in your home? There was a purpose why Nebuchadnezzar was sent there. God allow it to happen. Has any evil been done in the city? Has not the Lord God done it? You see these problems and these things happen. God's trying to get your attention. God wants you to rebuild your wall. I tell you what, you family that's praying over here, you get the west gate. You family, can I get another family? You family over there, you go to the east gate. You go to the south gate and let's build that wall. Your family, let's pray together. Let's call on the rapture. The only way the rapture come, it's got to be in a condition of the last days. The people ain't looking for the rapture because people is ease now. Do you need him? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Give me the key of F. Do you love him this morning? I'm sorry it was in bits or pieces. But rebuild your wall. Another thing the sister told me, Brother Donnie. I said, sister, you can't leave your husband. She said, I just don't love him anymore. So God. As I look at her husband, he was praising the Lord. He had no idea. Even today, when I went in the back, Brother Donnie, I dropped in my seat and I just cried. Boo. I cried and the pastor came in. My eyes were swollen. You said, do I care? All these years I struggled to just to preach the gospel. You think I'm going to compromise? I told the brother, I said, I feel like a failure, Brother Fred. I feel like I'm not where I need to be, that I can help others. Let me be like Nehemiah. Let me help establish the wall of faith. The prophet of God said in August of 1963, he said, the bride must have that faith before the rapture. We got to have that faith to get a body change. We hardly got enough faith to stop a headache. But we need a faith. I didn't mean to hold you this long, but something happened. People lost the love. They still got the shouting in the church and speaking in tongue and the choir just got it thumping and the music playing. But that love. That love. You've been a time, Brother Donnie, folks cry when you leave. They hate to see you go. But now they're glad to see you go. The love for their first love. And God said, I will restore, said the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus, loveful in his wonderful faith, and the things of this earth will grow straightly dim in the light of his glory and grace. Will you be that family today? Say, Brother Chisholm, I need my wall to be rebuilt. Brother Chisholm, I notice the mortar is coming out of my bricks now. I notice the coldness is coming in. But I'm going to tell you this morning, say, God, I need you to come and reestablish my wall. Lord, I want the love that I had when I first come to church. Lord, you spent a time, Lord, I love to come to church, Lord. Now I've lost that joy. Lord, now when I heard Brother Donnie preach, it don't take a fake on me like it used to, oh God. But God, help me to build that wall back. Hallelujah. Of his glory and grace. Oh, just turn, Lord, just turn your eyes upon Jesus, love. Now I'm going to
want to tell you something. There's somebody here that can turn the light on. If you're going through, there's a man that's here. Not Brother Chisholm, not Brother Fred Mullins, not Brother Donnie Reagan or any other minister. We just flesh just like the next man. But there's a king. And the king is not King Nebuchadnezzar. But there's a king. There's a mighty one that can restore the joy that you first have, the love that you have for Christ. He's here today. Hallelujah. Brother Joy, will you come up and sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior"? How many love him? Hallelujah. Pass me not.
Pass me not, O gentle. To Savior, oh, hear my humble cry. Trusting only in thy mercy, dear Lord. Lord, I seek your face. Oh, heal my wounded, broken and contrite. can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. You know he's my. One more time. Can't nobody. Can't help me, please don't stop me, move out of my way, don't try to block, I mean this, I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith, at the finishing line, I'm gonna see God's face. Oh, if you can't help me, please, please don't stop me, move, move. Out of my way, I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith, at the finishing line, I see God's face. Oh, I've been running for Jesus a mighty long time, I'm running both night and day, I don't have time for idle talk, it may cause me to lose this race. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move, move, move. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. At the finishing line, I see God's face. Lord, give me time to run this race, a heart to accept thy grace. I got a few more mountains and hills to climb, and be waiting at the finishing line. If you can help me, please move, 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 move. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. Watch this. I got a race to run. 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 Oh, come on. I got a race to run. I got a race to run. How many got a race to run? I got a race to run. I got a race.
Hallelujah. I decided yesterday I would study a little. That's what I do on Saturday, is study. So I read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Praise the Lord. Ezra. Hallelujah. I believe God's an on-time God, don't you? Whatever your need is today, no matter how desolate it is, I'll tell you about it next weekend, Lord willing. But one thing that Tobiah and Sanballat tried to use against was to discourage them. And they really, really found an avenue to try to really work on them. And that was through all the despair and all the things that was around them, looking at their circumstances. But remember, our God is bigger than your problems. Amen. He loves you. Praise the Lord. So enjoyed Brother Fred and the church coming, Brother Chisholm, all y'all visitors. God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to let you go, but before I do, let me tell you a short story. About 45 years ago, probably about this time in the day, probably between 1 and 2 o'clock, I drove down the road just a few miles from where I lived. I picked up that young lady right there. We went over to a Methodist minister's house, the parsonage. My uncle was the church we went to, but he couldn't marry people because he had to be bonded and all that through Kentucky, so he never did do that. So we went to this parsonage and had a little ceremony. Carol's mom was there and a cousin was there, and we got married there in that parsonage 45 years ago today. It was actually on Sunday. So I'd like to wish my sweetheart, my queen, the love of my life, a happy anniversary. And I'd like to wish her a happy birthday for tomorrow. And I would like to wish Emma and Eliana, our granddaughters, a happy birthday for the day after tomorrow. I would also like to wish my sorry son-in-law, Scotty, a happy birthday day after tomorrow. Another one? Is that what you want? Well, all right, I'll go to wish Harry a happy birthday the 25th of July. God bless you. We're so honored that you'd be with us this weekend. This is quite a birthday present, I guess, Carol. This is. Amen. So appreciate each of you visiting with us. Appreciate most of all the presence of the Lord Jesus. So coming among us and just bringing a refreshing, and just last night and today, so appreciated the word. Amen. Let's just pray together and we'll let you go. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this weekend. We so enjoyed it, Lord. Service last night, your presence. Then again today, Lord, each of the saints that made a sacrifice to come up and be with us, we pray that you bless them. Other visitors, Lord, that have been in our gates, Lord, the home folk as well. We just pray that you'd help each of us, Father, that we can take these things that we've heard, apply them to our lives. If there's any here today, Lord, that's in the process of rebuilding, may you help them, Lord Jesus. We know that you used two great men, two great pivotal men, to bring this restoration back to the people of God. One of them, of course, was Ezra, which was a priest. The other was Nehemiah, which is more in the line of politics, because you needed somebody to handle the word. And you needed a line of legalism to be able to help them line up to the do's and the don'ts. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us in our lives and rebuilding. May we not become discouraged if we're in the process of rebuilding. It doesn't happen overnight. Go with us now, Father. Keep your hand upon us. If we don't get to see one another again, Lord, I pray that you'd not let one of us be missing at that great day. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can't you see why I love to go down to South Carolina and preach to Brother Fred? As a matter of fact, we'll be having a meeting down there just in a few weeks off, so y'all are invited. God bless you. Sing something, Brother Joel. God bless you, saints. Be having service here Wednesday night. We love you so much. Go in the fear of God.
Climbed to the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around, down there, couldn't find nobody. Went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high.